All righty. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it. All righty. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hello. Good to see you. All right, amen. I'm glad to be here with you today. Brother King, was it your daughter that made that statement? Was it your daughter that said about the difference between an ordeal and an adventure? But your daughter said that. Okay. When Brother King got up and he said, my daughter said, Dad, you know the difference between an ordeal and an adventure. I thought she was going to say it depends on the date you're with on the activity. Amen, girls. Amen. Amen, amen. All righty. You'll have a great time tonight at the activity, and I'm sure that you will absolutely love it. I am excited to be a part of Hiles Anderson College. Hiles Anderson College has been a part of my life since I was 17 years old. That's 10 years ago. Since I was 17 years old, I walked on this campus in 1975. You weren't even born then. Your parents probably weren't even married yet. But I love this place, and I love you students. I really do. I look at you, and I'm encouraged. I have hope for America. You are the hope for America. And I love your excitement. I love your dedication, your devotion to Christ, your work on the bus routes. It's awesome. And I'm not one of those pessimists that thinks it's all over. I think we have a great future ahead of us, and God is still on the throne. God is still running things. God's still all the things that I saw a little picture the other day. Somebody in a little picture said that it said the world is not falling apart; it's falling in place. Everything is coming together just as God had control said it would. And the prophecies in the Bible are still true. Amen? Brother Chad, Brother Carter, glad to have you in class earlier today. I'm sorry, you got to put up with me twice today. Amen? My students, they all have to put up with me twice today. Thank you. And all righty. Is this mic picking up okay? I don't have a tie on today. Yeah, well, I look at you and you're worse than I am, but all right, I see that, yeah. Sometimes when you don't have a tie, then the mic kind of flops around. And I thank Mrs. Warland, I don't know if she's in here, but I'm only here a few hours every week. I don't come a lot because I pastor a church, and so I'm over there all the time with my church. But I usually miss the denim day. I usually don't know it's coming. So everybody's in denim, and I show up in a suit, and everybody looks at me like, and then the students just go, hey, just an old buzzard. He doesn't know anything. It's okay, you know. Well, what do you expect, you know? But Mrs. Warland sent me 150 notes to remind me. No, she sent me several because I had mentioned to her. I said, boy, I don't know this. So she sent me several notes to remind me. So thank God. And my wife bought me a brand new suit. She did. Beautiful, nice blue suit, beautiful. And she said, you can wear this to chapel when you preach. It's denim day. I'm taking advantage of it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. I'll be preaching to you a message that I preached to the people in my church a few weeks back. I gave the staff and faculty a little abbreviated message and staff devotions a couple weeks ago. I don't usually preach here what I taught in devotion, but the Lord laid on my heart to do that. So today I'm going to be preaching on this subject again. Psalm, those of you staff and faculty, you already know this, so you can go back to sleep, not worry about it. I've already been through this. I figure Brother King sleeps through chapel anyway half the time, so it just... Psalm 132, did you find it? If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you have a Bible, hold up. All right, Psalm 132. I want you to read it with me, if you will. We're not going to read the whole chapter. What we're going to do is we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we'll read it out loud together, all right? Ready? Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. He was describing a college student. He said, I will not go to bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes. I will not slumber. I'm in college, and I have to study for midterms. Amen. How many of you are weary today? How many of you want me to preach 5 minutes and get out? Ain't gonna happen. King David here in the book of Psalms, King David said, he said, I will not go up to my house. I will not go to my bed. I will not give eyes to my eyes sleep. I will not give slumber to my eyelids. He said, I will not do this until I find an habitation for the Lord God of Jacob. Now, that's an interesting thing. He said, now, what's a habitation? It's a place to live, right? You ever hear of Habitat for Humanity? They build houses for people to live in. Anybody with me here? Samuel, you with me here? All right. And habitation. He said, you know, David said, I'm not going to go up to my bed. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes. I'm not going to give slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for God to live. Now, that's a very strange thing to me when you think about that. How in the world could anybody have a place for God to live? You know, the Bible says that God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. You cannot go where God is not. And by the way, God is not in the universe. The universe is in God. God is so big and so mighty and so powerful that the whole universe is in God. God is not in the universe. Now, that's an amazing thing. You stop and think, that's how big your God is. Amen? You say, well, I got this big problem. I got news for you. God's bigger than that, all right? Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I've got issues on my job, and I'm struggling with my roommate. I love my roommate. You don't understand, I'm having financial difficulty. I'm facing big issues here. I've got news for you. God is bigger than the problem you're facing today. The Bible says that God is bigger than the universe. And David says, I'm going to not go to bed tonight. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes. I'm not going to give slumber to my eyelids until I find a habitation for the Lord. Now, God is so big. This is amazing. The Bible says, if you read it, anybody ever read the Bible here? Just checking. The Bible says that when God measures the universe, He measures it by the span of His hand. Everybody hold your hand up like this. Hold it up. Hold up like this. Everybody hold your hand up. Hold your hand up. Now, a span is from this, from your thumb to your little finger. When you spread out your fingers, spread them out. And that's a span. Wave, slap somebody. No, okay. A span is from here to here. And the Bible says that God is so big that he measures the universe by the span of his hand. He holds his hand up to the universe and goes, yeah, that's about it right there. That's how big God is. You know, when I was a boy, now I know you folks can't understand this. When I was a boy, we were just starting the Apollo program. We had no satellites in the outer space. We were thinking the Russians might beat us, and we started the Apollo program. And when I was maybe 9 years old or 10, somewhere along there, they landed on the moon, and we all stayed up and watched it on our black and white TVs that did not have remote control. Say, Pastor, I'm not your pastor. Yeah, preacher. I'm used to preaching to my people, all right? Preacher, how old are you? I was born in 19. None of your business, all right. And back in those days, there was no Hubble Space Telescope. In those days, there was no Webb Telescope out there. There was no satellites out there. There was no Artemis program. There were no space shuttles. There was no dragons. Elon Musk probably wasn't even born back then. I don't know. And they had no space station out there. And so literally, when I was a boy in elementary school, they said that there are hundreds of galaxies. That's all they could see. Hundreds. Then I got to be a teenager. We started going in outer space. And they said, oh my, there are thousands of galaxies. Then we put the space telescopes up there and start going around. They go, oh my soul, there are millions of galaxies out there. Then they put up the other ones and they start zeroing in and out. And they say, there are now trillions of galaxies out there. And you know, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, which is a relatively small galaxy. Now, I don't know. That's what I'm told. I've never been out there to measure it. I have no idea. But they say that we're in a relatively small galaxy, and it would take 100 million light years to go from one side of it to the other side of it. We are told that in our little galaxy that we're in, that there are more than 100 billion stars just in our galaxy. And there are trillions, they're saying now, of galaxies out there with hundreds of billions of stars in those galaxies. And the Bible says that God has named every star. He knows their name. He knows where they are. That's how big God is. Hello? The Bible says that God is so big. Take your hand and do this. Look at the person next to you and say, can I borrow a dollar? No, all right. They're college students. They're broke. It's useless, all right? Don't even ask. Get your hand out like this and just cup it. Have you ever taken your hand like this and dipped it in water to get a drink or something like that? Have you ever done that? Okay, and you dip it in the water, and when you pull it up, the water runs between your fingers and it runs out, but a little bit in that little hollow of your hand there, there's a little bit that stays there, right? Have you ever done that? Now, keep your hand there. God is so big that the Bible says that that all the water, all the oceans, the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the South China Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the Arctic Ocean, all of the oceans, all of the lakes, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, Lake Superior and the other ones, all the lakes, all the rivers, the Mississippi River and the Missouri River and the Ohio River and the Nile River and the Ganges River and all. He said it'd take all the water, all the oceans, all the seas, all the lakes, all the rivers. You take all of that, and God says he can hold it in that hollow of his hand. Now, that's amazing. That's how big our God is. Are you following me here? He is so big, you take everything in this world, all the water, and at that little hollow spot there, he holds all of it, and it's like nothing to him. Oh, by the way, God is so big. Listen to me. God is so big. Bible says that you take all the nations of the world. Now, I have read that there are more than 8 billion people on the world today. I don't know. I haven't counted them. But somebody's counted them, but there's a heap of them. You look around, there's a bunch of folks everywhere, okay? It's true. There's a bunch of them. So I think there's probably 8 billion, more than 8 billion people. According to, I looked this up, and there's 179 nations that are recognized by the United Nations, and then there are other nations that are not recognized. I don't know how you can say they're a nation, but you're not a nation. Okay, sorry. So I know you have a president, but you're not a nation. No. I don't know how that works, but that, they say that there's all these, okay, so 179 nations. And God says if you take all the nations, all the people, all the mountains, all the cities and everything in those nations, these 179 or 180 or however many nations there are, said you take all of them and take all the people in those nations. You take Russia and you take China and you take the North American continent and the South American continent and Australia and the Asian continent and India. He said you take all of it. You take all of it together. And he said it's like a little drop in a bucket to God. Any of you in here ever have a horse? Oh, good. All right, good. I used to live out in the country. Now, people think I still live in the country because in the town that I live in, there's only 6,000 people. And in our county, there's only 20,000 people in our whole county. But we're uptown, folks. But I used to live way out in the country. And my daughter, when she was about 10 years old, she said, "Dad, but I have a horse." And I said, "Sweetheart, I'm too busy to deal with a horse, and you're too small to handle a horse. And, you know, I just don't know." And she said, "Well, how old would I have to be?" I said, "Oh, probably when you're about 12, and we'll get a pony or something, maybe, okay?" And she said, "Okay, so when I'm 12, I can get a pony." I said, "Well, yeah, okay, all right." Just, I figured she'd forget. She's coming up on her 12th birthday. "Dad, I'm almost 12. I said, "Yes, you are. That's good. Yeah, I'm so excited. We're going to have a birthday party." She said, "You know what you promised me?" I said, "No." "What did I promise you?" "You promised me I could have a pony when I'm 12. Know what she got when she's 12? A pony. And then she outgrew that pony, and she said, "Dad, that pony's too little for me." I said, "It's okay. You can walk on the pony, you know?" Let's go. "That pony is too small for me, Dad. I need a horse." So through the years, she got different horses, and I made a pasture for the horses, and we get the feed and the grain and all these things for the horses and all that stuff. And we had a watering trough, but we had a metal bucket. Have you ever had a metal bucket? And when you turn on the faucet, when it's cold, it sometimes was frozen and you just get a thunk. And that drop of water in that bucket would go thunk. Everybody do thunk. My grandson, he said, "Papa," he said, "I had a dream." He said, "Well, I think I had a dream." He said, "I don't know if I had a dream or if I thunk it." And "I don't know, son." But God says everything in the whole world, he said all of these nations and everything in the nations are like a little drop of a water in a bucket, and it's just like a little hollow funk, means nothing to God at all. This is the God we serve. He is so big that the universe is in him. He is so big that all the oceans fit in the little hollow of his hand. He's so big that all the nations are like a little thunk in the bucket. It doesn't mean anything to it. It's just a little thunk there. It's nothing big. He's so big that he measures the universe by the span of his hand. He looks at it and says, "Yeah, the universe is about that big." And David says, "I'm not going to go to bed tonight. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes. I'm not going to give slumber to my eyelids until I find an habitation for God." That's a strange thing, isn't it? And a lot of times people think that God lives at church. Now, of course, we know different. I had a little boy who came on our bus, and he'd come in, and he kept cussing at church, cussing in junior church, cussing in his class, and he was too little to know what he was saying. I know where he got it from, his mom and dad. So I went by the house, and I said, "You know, folks, we love to have your boy come to our church, but he's cussing at church, and we can't have him cussing at church." His mother looked at him and goes, "You cussing at church? You shouldn't cuss at church. That's where God lives." The average person in the world thinks God lives in that church, so when I go there, I got to behave myself. But when I leave church, if God's still there, I go out and live the way I want to live. You know, that's the way the average person lives. But we know better. We know that God does not live at church. You can't go anywhere that God is not. And so what in the world is King David saying here? He's saying, I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes. I'm not going to go to bed at night tonight. He said, I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes. I'm going to give slumber to my eyelids until I find a habitation or a place for God to live. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 22. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 22, in verse 3, it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. It's talking about God there. He said, what was David saying? He was saying that God lives in the praises of his people. Are you following me? He said, the God of he inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. He said, hey, where does God live? God lives in the praises of his people. Amen. God lives in the praises of his people. I'll tell you what, you want to be where God is, start praising him. Amen. You want to be where God is, start praising him. He said, I'm not going to give slumber to my eyes or sleep unto my eyelids till I find a place for God to live. He said, the Holy One of Israel, he dwells, he lives, he inhabits the praises of Israel, the praises of his people. Hey, you want to know where God lives? He lives in the praises of his people. Amen. I was preaching at a church in Virginia, in the mountains of Virginia, way up the holler in Virginia, way up away. They said it was 60 miles from the closest interstate highway. I said, good night. And I mean, these folks, I was in this little church, and it was, and please forgive me, they were hillbillies. You say, you being critical? No. I come from hillbilly blood. I know hillbillies. My dad's family grew up, in the Ozarks in Arkansas, and his folks were, who's from Arkansas? One? You're the only one from Arkansas? Bless your heart. Right there? Right there? Somebody else? The other ones don't want to admit it. Okay. My dad grew up in Arkansas in the mountains. We go down to visit grandma. And I said, Dad, I'm thirsty. He said, okay, get a drink. I went in the kitchen. I'm looking. There's no faucet. There's no faucet. There's nothing there. I went back. Dad, there's no faucet. He says, outside. They had a well, literally. And they had a rope and a bucket and an old tin can hanging on the side of the well. And you lower the bucket down in the well. It gets filled up with water. You roll it back up. It comes up. You take that tin cup, dip it in the water, and get your drink. And everybody did that. I know hillbilly, okay? We went to visit my Aunt May. Aunt May, I was just a kid. I grew up in Indiana. We visited Aunt May. Aunt May was a good Christian woman, but she had a bad habit. She chewed tobacco. Had big wilding teeth like this. And she had a little bit of tobacco juice running down her cheek back there. And I came in the house, she goes, oh, Billy, give me a hug. And my dad gave me one of those looking at me and go, I was hoping I didn't catch whatever she had. I didn't know what was. We went in her house and there were these little brass pots all over. And I looked at that. I said, Dad, what's those pots? He said, those are spittoons, son. He said, don't touch them. I said, what's a spittoon? He said, when your Aunt May gets done chewing the tobacco, she spits it into that spittoon. I looked in it. Gag a maggot. I know hillbilly, okay? So just trust me. I my family, half of them are hillbillies, all right? I was up in this church, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody had a tie on. Amen? Hillbillies know how to live, amen? Me and the preacher were the only ones that had a tie on. And one fellow came up in bib overalls. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "See these bibs?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I don't wear these no place but church. Is my church going clothes?" Okay. They got up for their choir. You'll appreciate this. They got up their choir, and they just stood across the platform. There's a guitar on one side and a banjo on the other. And several of the ladies had no shoes on at all. They were barefoot. And they're up there, and when they got ready to sing, they go, 1, 2, 3, 4. They were praising God, and they were singing. I'll tell you what, that's where God lives. Hello? Well, he lives in the praises of his people. Amen? Hey, I want to know where God lives. God lives in the praises of his people. I was on a mission trip to Mexico. We went out to a little village out in the middle of the desert. We got in the back of a pickup truck. And we were going to go out there, and I was going to preach to the people. I don't speak Spanish. How many of you are Hispanic and you speak Spanish? I am going to demonstrate to you my Spanish right now. Here's what I know. A la muchacha yo te quiero mucho, señorita. Tú eres la mujer de mi vida. Otro taco. That's all I know. And for those of you who wonder what I said, ask the Hispanic students. They will tell you. We went in this little village. I mean, just a dirt road. We pulled in the village, chickens running around, little barefooted kids. And it's just like there wasn't another car. One other car besides the truck we went in. That was it. And we were there, and it had a little white building, and it was just, you went inside. It wasn't finished. You see all the studs out there? No windows. They just cut holes in the wall, and they put hinges on it, so you pop it up with a stick part of the wall, and you do that. And there were no chairs in there at all, none. And we walked in the back little foyer, and they had three letters in Spanish on the wall. And I said, "What's that?" They said, "Those are three missionaries this church supports." They only had, the lights were just a wire going down the middle of the building with some light bulbs hanging off of it. That's it. And I was going to preach that night, and I said, "Where are they going to sit?" Everybody brought their own chairs. Someone brought a kitchen chair. Somebody had lawn chairs. One fella had a cement block. He sat on the cement block for the service. That was his chair. And so I don't know Spanish. I don't know what they're saying. So I preach a little. The missionary translated. I preach. He translated. And some of the people started shouting stuff. Those of you who are Hispanic, help me if you speak Spanish. How do you say glory to God in Spanish? How do you say amen?
Amen.
What about
hallelujah?
That doesn't sound Spanish to me. Hey, say, praise Jesus. Okay, let's try it Spanish, folks. You got to help me out now. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Boy, is it. Now they started doing all that. They started going, praise but mucho Jesus, oh, all right. They were doing, I said to the interpreter, I said, "What are they saying?" He said, "They're praising God." He said, "They're rejoicing in what you're preaching. They're praising God." I'll tell you what, that's where God lives right there. Amen. I got to finish up here in a minute. Hang on. We'll make it a long minute. All right. Had a little lady in my church, a little lady named Ida Grimes, a little short lady, like I'm talking about short people, you know. She was a bundle of energy, but she got cancer. Cancer started eating her away. And when she was getting closer to the time that she was going to be with the Lord, she said, "Pastor, I need you to come over." So I went over to her house. And I said, "Hi, Ida." I said, "No time for howdy. Sit down." "Yes, ma'am." said, when I'm dead, you're going to preach my funeral, and my two daughters who are lost are going to be there, and I don't want you pussyfooting. I want you to preach it, and I want you to tell them the gospel, tell them about heaven and hell. And she was preaching to me. I said, yes, ma'am. They came to the point where she was just about to go to heaven. I got a phone call on a Sunday morning. I said, Pastor, don't think that Ida's going to live through the day. She's asking to see you. And I said, well, if church's starting here in a little bit, I'll come up after church. And so my daughter and I went up to see her. We walked in, and she had her eyes closed. I didn't know if she was alive or not. I opened the door, walked in. I said, Ida, are you awake? And Ida opened up her eyes. Oh, Pastor, how are you? I said, good. She said, Ida, they tell me you're probably not going to live through the day. She said, that's okay. I'll be with Jesus. I'll be with my husband. It's going to be wonderful. I said, what can I do for you? She said, would you read the Bible to me? I said, okay. And I read some scripture to her and things she requested. I said, Ida, and while I was reading, she said, oh, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's wonderful. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Oh, that's wonderful. She said, Pastor, would you sing a song for me? All right, my daughter and I were going to sing a song for her. So we started singing. While we were singing Amazing Grace and some other songs, she was laying there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be with him. Oh, it won't be long. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You saved me. Oh, it's wonderful. Boy, I tell you what, that's all I could do to keep my composure. I'm ready to break down. And she's clapping her hands. Oh, I'm going to be with the Lord. And she's praising God. Praise God. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved. Oh, I'm praising God. I said, I've got to go. I said, I'll check on you after church tonight. She said, okay, Pastor. So I started to leave. She leaned up on her bed the best she could. She raised her little hand up like this. Pastor, if I don't see you here, I'll see you in heaven. Yeah, I see you in heaven. She said, it's a wonderful thing, wonderful Savior. She laid down. That was the last time I talked to her. But I tell you what, God was living there. She is praising God. God lives in the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. Yeah, what was David saying? David was coming down and he just said, you know, he said, I will not go to bed tonight. I will not close my eyes in sleep. I will not give slumber to my eyelids until I find a habitation for the Lord God of Jacob. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to shout a little bit and I'm going to praise the Lord a little bit and I'm going to give God the habitation that he wants. By the way, God doesn't inhabit the criticism of his people. God doesn't inhabit the griping of his people. God doesn't inhabit the complaining of his people. God inhabits the praise of his people. You say, hey, I just don't feel like I'm close to God. Start praising him, because when you start praising him, you know what's going to happen. God's going, hey, I'm going to move in there. Hey, that's a place for me to live. I'm moving in with that person there. Hey, I tell you what, they're praising me. I'm going to be there. I'm going there. Hey, if you want to be close to God, take some time every day of your life and praise him. You say, preacher, things are going tough. Keep praising God. Say, preacher, I'm sick. Keep praising God. But preacher, you don't understand. Keep praising God. If you want to be close to him, praise him every day. And don't give sleep. Don't go to bed. Don't give sleep to your eyes. Don't give slumber to your eyelids until you praise God and give him a habitation to live in. Amen. That's what David was saying. Every one of us every day ought to raise our hand somewhere and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's practice it now. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mucho taco. Oh, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 19, I'll just read it to you. Listen carefully. The Bible says, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, let's shout for Jesus. Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.